Rwanda is a tiny country set like a jewel in Central Africa. She is so breathtakingly beautiful that it's impossible not to see the hand of God in her lush, rolling hills, mountains, green valleys, and sparkling lakes. The gentle breezes drifting down from the hills and through the pine forests are scented with the sweet aroma of lilies and chrysanthemums. And the weather is so pleasant year-round that the German settlers who arrived in the late 1800s christened her the Land of Eternal Spring. The forces of evil that would give birth to a Holocaust that set my beloved country awash in a sea of blood were hidden from me as a child. As a young girl, all I knew of the world was the lovely landscape surrounding me, the kindness of my neighbors, and the deep love of my parents and brothers. In our home, racism and prejudice were completely unknown. I wasn't aware that people belonged to different tribes or races, and I didn't even hear the terms Tutsi or Hutu until I was in school. In my village, young children walked 8 miles to and from school along lonely stretches of road, but parents never worried about a child being abducted or harmed in any way. My biggest fear as a youngster was being alone in the dark. Other than that, I was an extremely happy little girl in a happy family, living in what I thought was a happy village where people respected and cared for one another. I was born in the western Rwandan province of Kibuye, in the village of Mataba. Our house was perched on a hilltop overlooking Lake Kivu, which seemed to stretch out forever below us. On clear mornings, I could see the mountains on the other side of the lake in the neighboring country of Zaire, now called the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Some of my warmest childhood memories are of clambering down the steep hill between our house and the lake. I'd go swimming with my dad and brothers. The water was warm, the air cool against our skin, and the view of our house high above the shore always thrilling. Heading back home was an adventure because the hill was so steep and the dirt beneath our feet was loose and treacherous. I often slipped and was afraid that I'd tumble all the way down and into the lake. My father always knew when I was frightened, and he'd bundle me in his arms all the way home. He was a big, strong man, and I felt safe and loved, wrapped in those powerful arms. It thrilled me to be lifted up so affectionately, especially since Dad was very reserved in an old-fashioned way and rarely showed his emotions or said he loved my brothers and me, although we knew he did. When we got home from our swim, my beautiful mother would be busy in the kitchen preparing the hot rice and bean dish she fed us every day before packing us off to school. Her energy never failed to astonish me. Mom was always the first to rise and last to bed, getting up hours before anyone else to make sure that the house was in order. Our clothes were laid out, our books and lessons were ready, and my father's work papers were organized. She made all our clothing herself, cut our hair, and brightened the house with handmade decorations. The beans she prepared for our breakfast were grown in our family fields, which Mom tended every morning while the rest of us were still sleeping. She checked the crops and would make sure that our cows and other animals were fed and watered. And then, after finishing the morning chores and getting us off to class, Mom would walk down the road to start her full-time teaching job at the local primary school. Both of my parents were teachers and adamant believers that the only defense against poverty and hunger was a good education. Despite being one of the smallest countries in Africa, Rwanda, which is roughly the size of the American state of Maryland, is one of the most densely populated countries on the continent and among the poorest in the world. Mom and Dad were the first high school graduates in their families, and they were determined that their children would go even further than they had in school. Dad led by example, working hard and studying throughout his life. He received many honors and promotions during his career, rising steadily through the ranks from primary teacher to junior high school principal. He was eventually appointed chief administrator for all the Catholic schools in our district. In Rwanda, every family member has a different last name. Parents give each child a unique surname at birth, one that reflects the feelings of the mother or father at the moment they first lay eyes on their new baby. In Kinyarwanda, the native language of Rwanda, my name, Ilibagiza, means shining and beautiful in body and soul. My dad chose my name, which will always remind me how much he loved me from the moment I was born. My father's name was Leonard Ukulitininhindi, and my mother's was Marie Rose Kanhindi, but her friends called her Rose. They met at one of my cousin's homes in the summer of 1963 and married within the year. My parents managed to save a little money by holding down teaching jobs and farming the land my grandfather had given them. They grew and sold beans, bananas, and coffee. Dad designed and built our house, which, while extremely modest by Western standards, was considered quite luxurious in our village. We had a kitchen, a dining area, a living room, our own bedrooms, a guest room, and Dad even had a study. The solar panels he installed provided us with about an hour of electricity on sunny days. We had two vehicles, which was practically unheard of in our part of Rwanda. We had a yellow cross-country motorcycle that Dad used to visit schools in the remote mountain villages, and we also had a little car that we used on weekends to go to church and visit relatives. Some villagers thought that we were wealthy, which we weren't, and they called my dad Muzungu, meaning white man or rich person, which to most Rwandans meant the same thing. No one else in our village had a motorcycle, and Mom always worried that Dad would be waylaid by bandits on a lonely mountain pass. Fretting about her family was a preoccupation with my mother, to the point that whenever any of us was away from home for more than a night, she'd listen to the obituaries announced on the radio every evening. Mom, think of all the good things that could happen to us instead of dwelling on what might go wrong. I urged her unsuccessfully. Oh, Immaculée, I couldn't bear it if someone knocked on the door with bad news about one of my children or your father. I just pray that I die before any of you do. She prayed incessantly for our health, safety, and well-being. My parents were devout Roman Catholics and passed on their beliefs to us. Mass was mandatory on Sundays, as were evening prayers with the family at home. I loved praying, going to church, and everything else to do with God. I especially loved the Virgin Mary, believing that she was my second mom, watching out for me from heaven. I didn't know why, but praying made me feel warm and happy. While my parents were ardent Catholics, they were Christians in the broadest sense of the word. They believed in the golden rule and taught us to treat our neighbors with kindness and respect. They felt strongly connected to their village and dedicated themselves to creating a prosperous, harmonious community. Dad spent many weekends doing volunteer work, such as building a non-denominational chapel and paying for most of the construction costs out of his own pocket. Mom was also known for her many good works. She could never turn away anyone in need, so we often had another family living with us because they'd fallen on hard times and needed a place to stay until they got back on their feet. After finishing work, my mother volunteered her time to tutor students, and she was forever buying material to sew new uniforms for local schoolgirls. Mom and Dad treated the village as our extended family, and the villagers often treated them like surrogate parents. Dad had a reputation across the region as an educated, enlightened, and fair-minded man. Consequently, people traveled for miles seeking his counsel on family problems, money woes, and business ventures. He was a good diplomat and always made people feel as if they'd resolved their own problems. My mother was also sought out for her advice.